please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Well, guess what, everybody?
This is the downsizing spoiler episode.
It is. It's the first spoiler up of 2018.
Fantastic.
Come on now. Let's make it right.
Because it's so wrong
it is
already.
So wrong. It's so goddamn wrong. We have a first-time guest.
How's his garage? Did it flood?
No, I think his garage is fine. He didn't cancel on us like John Reap did. So this comic has a lot of problems. And we're gonna
it's a whole different episode. So, yeah.
I don't know. I was gonna go with a big flower introduction, and then I don't know. I stonewalled my own self. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Clark is here.
I'll let them grasp that. Tom Clark. Yes, the Tom Clark. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
We worked together for the first time. Comedy Cafe or Funny Business in Milwaukee?
We worked a Funny Business in Milwaukee. But our first time, you headlined, I think it was around 97, and it was one of my first MC gigs at the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee.
You always meet Tom Clark on the road. That's where I met him, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Redding, California. Yeah. At some horrible casino.
Yes.
In front of 10 people.
That was the first time I ever headlined the Comedy Cafe.
Oh, really?
It was that summer of 97.
Yeah, yeah. I used to sing this song about a potato.
Oh, it was everyone who worked with you was like, they would always call Roz Turner, go, get the potato guy on the show.
Yeah, and you gave me a couple lines. You helped me structure the song a little bit
oh,
better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to bring it to a crescendo.
Oh, nice.
You can look it up on YouTube, the potato song. It's a real hit. It hasn't gone viral yet. Mm-hmm. It's about 15 years old. But
it'll get there.
Just a matter of time. Yeah, exactly. You just wait. Biding my time.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore, by the way.
Bide your time? Well, that's cool, man. I'm we've known each other a long time. How long have you been in L.A.?
I moved out here in 2001. January 2001. And from there, just took off.
It's just been nothing but just golden streets and dreams.
Yeah. No, I...
And rain.
Yeah, a lot of rain today. but yeah, I moved out here. And I remember, I think one of the first times I came out here, I came to when you had a house and you had a party. And I went to your party. And when you had that strip poker money. And it was the
that's a pay for that house.
Yeah, and we it was like my first Hollywood party.
Oh, really?
That was probably like 90. That was probably
in the Valley.
Yeah, yeah, in the Valley.
Hot, sweaty Valley.
Yeah, it was like Boogie
Nights.
I had a great party.
That house had a great backyard.
It was a great party
I
house.
Had a hammock back there. Mm.
It had Tim Bennett.
I had Tim Bennett living in the guest house.
Yes, I remember.
I had a little studio guest house, and Tim Bennett lived back there. Another comic lived back there. Oh, God, I'm for blanking out his name.
Kipadada.
Kipadada. Why would you pull that name out of it? Where? The most random name.
I don't know.
Frazier Smith?
Yeah.
We're just going to Kipadada?
It's just fun to say.
I don't even think I know Kipadada. And I would never let him live in my house.
That's why he was in the guest house.
Yeah, I can't have him in the back house. I can't have him coming through the front.
Got a reputation.
Yeah. You had to jump over the fence in the back.
It's the Valley. Yeah. It's classy.
All right.
Have them scurry around the orange tree. Fight with the tree rats.
Should we talk about the movie?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm excited to get into the more details.
All right. So let's,
movie.
First of all, my pre-show understanding is, Tom and Chris, you did not like this movie?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Hated it. Horrible.
Yeah, really bad. Really bad.
God, I took it more personally and was disappointed.
Because of the director, you expected more, or because cast and everything?
Everything. Yeah. Yeah, I expected a better package all around. I went in with excited expectations.
Yeah.
So, which apparently the rest of America did not go in with, because. It is not doing well.
What was his first, I was reading like in the Hollywood Reporter, that it was like his first like like, I don't know if it was a $100 million budget, but it was like $70 million to
between 65 and 90, and yeah. opening it took in nine.
Yeah, I mean,
but
so
you could see why it got made. Like, I'm looking at like the notes, and it said Meryl Streep, Reese Witherspoon, Paul Giamatti, and Sacha Baron Cohen were all previously attached to this movie.
Right.
So, you know, that's where everything, the momentum kind of happened. But right. then apparently everyone dropped out.
Well, Matt Damon apparently turned down, what was the movie that Casey Affleck won the Oscar for? What was that? Manchester by the Sea. Right. He turned down that role because he was holding on for downsizing.
Really?
Yeah, so he turned down and just went on as a producer and let Casey Affleck have that role and now made it awkward at the Oscars when right. he shows up on stage. but yeah, it's... I don't know where to start. I just was disappointed because I was expecting. Are there going to be sound effects like a morning zoo sort of show?
Ding, 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 ding. Boy, that movie was a real.
Now, Tom, did you go in with any kind of expectations on this film?
I was ready for it to be like, oh, it's going to goof around with the little people, big people thing. Like, it's going to be sort of like not a, like a serious version of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
right.
or something like that. But I was even disappointed that they didn't even play that up more, like just the little people, big people. There was a scene in the movie where they're at the bar and he's about to become little.
Right.
I don't even know if that's the term they use, but miniaturized, and there's that redneck or whatever at the bar. He's like, oh, I'm right. tired of you little people.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool scene. But to me, it was like there was no tension to it because it was like they weren't little yet. He was just sort of stating his opinion, and then it just sort of diffused, and that was it. I just thought that was sort of like in this era of like Trump to see like
it brought
big
in
people
some
and little
things.
People.
Yeah, yeah like, sort of. Like, well, should you get a full vote if you're tiny? You're not contributing to the big economy. You
right.
know, all these interesting ideas.
Because that was one of the things they talked about is like, wow, all these people going small, it's hurting the economy. The housing market's going
right.
down and the job, no, there's not enough people working and buying stuff. And I thought that was really interesting.
So the other thing too is, which you didn't get into, is that, you know, all new industries would be created. Like, you know, somebody's got to manufacture the tiny houses and all of those things.
Go on your computer and they can work on stuff like circuit boards and stuff.
Yeah, I went in, like I said, with, I was excited about it. I thought what I wanted to see from this film was that a guy who lost his wife, you know, she decided not to get small and he went to get small, rebuilt his life with the backdrop of the social commentary of, you know, race, socioeconomic inequality,
class,
all of these things. Like, I wanted to see that. And I think the movie wanted to get there, but I think it never really got there. I think it went into too many weird tangents and went meandered too many different places. And it just, and then, you know, you have towards the end, then you have, oh, well, there's a environmental apocalypse and all humans are going to get wiped out anyway. Now us little people are going to go in this tunnel and live like leprechauns. So, and then everyone else is going to kind of die.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like when the Vietnamese subplot happened where they found these little people sneaking in, the Vietnamese people, and they snuck in. And I thought that was going to be some sort of...
I thought it was really a good commentary that it was in a TV box where all the electronics are manufactured.
Right.
Of course, it's going to be
in
a TV box.
And they were dissidents. What they found out is they were in prison. They were protesters. And the government imprisoned them, and then the government shrank them and
against their will.
Against their will,
oh, okay.
And they snuck out. So I thought that was like, oh wow, all these dictatorships are just shrinking people, you know, for whatever reason, and sending them out. And
I thought that would play more of a role in the movie, or like there would be some sort of uprising or something like that. But it was just very like just sort of meandered toward we're gonna hide in this hole. And I'm the actress, that accent annoyed me so much, her Vietnamese.
But that's how Vietnamese women talk. I get my hair cut at a Vietnamese hair salon, and that's how they talk.
I guess. It just felt like, why? I don't know. I just didn't. I felt like it was like an Angela Johnson stand-up sketch or something. Like,
she's Vietnamese. She's She was born in Thailand. Her parents left Vietnam. She nailed it.
Nail salon.
I work in a nail salon. I get my hair cut in a Vietnamese nail salon.
Right.
That's how they all talk.
Right. Like,
so I found it very accurate. I thought she was an actually Vietnamese actress. And when I saw an interview with her and she spoke like, she grew up in America, I was like, oh, wow. But obviously she's been around that accent her whole life because that's how her parents talk.
Yeah. I just didn't get why it had to be Vietnam or why it had to be, like, even like Korea would have been interesting. But I don't know. I just didn't understand the Vietnamese angle of it. Like, why?
I'll tell you, you know whose accent annoys me more is Christoph Waltz's. his accent.
The party boy.
Yeah. It's just every
he's
time he's
indiscriminate.
In a movie,
yeah. Like, yeah, you're like, where Eastern are you from? European-ish?
Exactly. It's like, it's... You know, it's like the room guy. You know, Tommy. It's like, where are you from? This, and it's too, it's annoying. It's
right.
Pick a country, and be from it.
Yeah, there are some weird. The other weird thing was the poster child for the miniaturizing, and then at the end he has like herpes on
right.
his lip.
Yeah,
well, because that he's made fucking no sense. Everything. Yeah. When they said he's sleeping around, and then they just gave him a cold sore, I was like, what are you, Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
What is this?
You know what that felt like? That felt like a studio note, somebody going, oh, this will be funny. You got to put this in. Like, it felt like that. It just felt so thrown
right,
in.
Like, on set, it was hilarious.
Right.
But
right?
In the like, let's do that. Yeah, go. Get makeup. Yeah, it seems like a last minute add-on, but and it just sort of came out of nowhere because it was sort of this inspiring moment, and then
it was also
like...
a subplot that like didn't go anywhere because like I thought, well, that's interesting, he's the first baby that's been born small, like, what, let's explore that a little bit and see what's going on. I'm like, no, let's just give him herpes.
Let's just have him run around and be he just sleeps around.
So the other thing that I thought the movie was just too long. I mean, it was two hours and 15 minutes. I really felt like 30 minutes could have gotten cut out of this easily.
Right.
Especially the setup. Like, you know, and as a science fiction fan, I love a cool setup, and I love that attention to detail that this movie did get into of, like, you know, how you downsize, like, how they discovered it, and, like, what the rules are. Like, it's only organic material, so they have to take the fillings and stuff out of your teeth or your head will explode. I found all that interesting.
I would have liked to have seen, somebody who didn't, like, who they learned that didn't work out for, or see, like, some of the things that went wrong. Like, that's sort of the thing I was hoping to see, is that there was some sort of government secret where some of the people got screwed up in the miniaturization process.
They touched on it, but they didn't show any of it.
Right.
Like, they mentioned it, like, well, there's a small percentage of people that, you know, that something happens.
Right.
But that was the thing, that was the comment that she was making. She's from a poor, I guess I saw this movie way differently than you guys did. I was so seeing it from this sort of,
A Vietnamese nail salon.
Well, yeah, and wage inequities and capitalism is on the backs of poor third world countries like Vietnam, who have to make all of our products so we can live a comfortable life. And then it was interesting, in Leisureland, it's all these big houses with all these rich people. And who's cleaning it? Asian and Latino women are cleaning all the big fancy houses, which is exactly what's happening in cities like Los Angeles.
Right.
Well, and so I was like, and she said her father or husband or somebody's head exploded because
they didn't take a filling out.
They didn't take a filling out. So they're doing it. They don't have the money to do it properly.
Well, the way it's also was set up as the premise was that, you know, your money goes a long way. Like, I think they said it in the trailer, like your $130,000 is like $4 million or whatever,
million
or $20
or
million or whatever it was. So, you know, you get the setup and the sales pitch, which I did like, of like, okay, well, you know, you could be middle class big, but if you could be, you're going to be really wealthy small. Like, it didn't get into it until later in the film where, like, oh, well, then there'd be no poor people in Leisureland. But there are, because some people didn't have any money going in, and then they become the lower class actually inside Leisureland.
Tunnel out and make this ghetto on the other side of the wall. And then there's great lines in there. Again, I thought from the Vietnamese, the actress, when she's at this rich woman's house, she's cleaning this house, and this woman's like, oh, this is probably going bad. And she opens it up and she goes, oh, we kill for this in prison, you know? And it was like, and this woman's just throwing away all this food, and this, like, and then she's taking the food and going to these projects, basically, and giving them to old people and people that are sick. And you know, she's taking medicine out of Christoph Waltz's drug cabinet to give to this woman that's dying of cancer and isn't going to make it. She's just like, I just want her life. She'd just be not be in pain for the next couple of days.
And then she kills her and gives her too many pills.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I just, what, you could,
because
I just
she doesn't
like...
have proper health care.
No.
Miniature healthcare.
Well, that's the thing. You think it's going to be so much better, and it's basically what they said is it's exactly like today.
Like
the poor people
see,
don't have good healthcare. The rich people have more than they need. Like she said, people in Leisureland selfish.
Yeah.
She said that line.
One other line she said was like at one point Matt Damon's carrying her down the stairs, and he's like, Jesus Christ, and she's like, watch your language. And then, but later on, she says, what kind of fuck we have? We have love fuck, good fuck, bad fuck, but, you know, like, what kind of fuck? It's like, all right, so you don't approve of using the Lord's name in vain, but you have seven different ways to use fuck. I don't know.
Just... Or she doesn't understand the English language.
And
well.
The, what was funny is,
Tom
like,
hates immigrants.
That one specific
finally.
Scene.
Let's get to the point here.
As I was watching the movie, I'm like, why is this R? And they're like, oh, there's that one scene when she says fuck all the time. Now it's R. So this is clearly a PG-13 movie with a bunch of fucks in it. But now what I thought where the ball got dropped a little bit too story-wise was you understand the motivation for people with some money to go get small and go to Leisureland because then they can live like kings. Like they can live like that upper class that they would never be able to reach when they were there. But what's the motivation for the poor people to get small? Like, well, if you're being, you know, economically oppressed here, like it's going to be the same in Leisureland. Like, why would you even bother?
Well, it talks about that in the news. If you got to listen closer to the news thing, it's these governments doing it. These governments, they're just downsizing their citizenry and just shoving them out there in the world and sneaking them into America and just sort of like you're on your own.
I guess I would have liked to have seen that more than like because it just. I just felt like I didn't know. Like, you have Jason Sudeikis, Kristen Wiig, who are incredible comedic actors, and there's really nothing comedic that they got to do. Mm-hmm. Like, the high school reunion I thought was funny, like, just, like, them being paraded in, and they're little, and they have the little
megaphones. Yeah, I thought that was
like, I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, okay, like, I sort of wanted to see that more of, like, the interaction between big and little, or, like, how, you know, like, they're oppressing us. Or
you wanted to see more Gulliver's Travels.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is a big problem. I mean, that's the unevenness of this film that I do agree with, is they shot these trailers or cut these trailers. They hire all these comedic actors, and then those comedic actors are gone, and the second half of the movie is this heavy personal story about immigration and inequities of money and capitalism run amok and all this stuff. So I really feel, I agree there. Like, then they should have picked one or the other. They should have just made it a wacky love story in small town, or made it cast other people than Kristen Wiig and Jason Sudeikis, and really show, then really go all in, and then show this Vietnamese woman in the trailer, other than just a scene or two in one of the trailers,
right?
Then show me, this is a like.
Yeah, the co-star of the film is not in any of the trailers.
No, then show me that this is the downsizing socialism movie.
Yeah, right.
Well, I wonder is, I don't know about the writers, but I know, like, Jim Rash and who's the other guy who sometimes writes with him?
Jim Taylor is the writer on this particular.
But Jim Rash and there's another guy from Groundlings who usually...
Nat Faxon.
Okay. Usually write with them. And they're great comedic voices, so I'm just wondering, like, if they would have brought them in, if that would have changed the tone
would have
of
changed
the movie,
the tone of the film,
because his previous movies have all been there's been some dark humor in most of his movies, and I felt like this one it wasn't there was nothing there as much. It did get serious toward the end, and the tone did suddenly shift when they get on that river and travel down the sea, and they make sweet love.
While carrying the giant bottles of vodka that were behind them.
The thing I want to talk about the ending. That actually annoyed me because I'm like, I know he's not going to go down the hole. He's going to come back and be in love with this woman.
Right.
They dragged that out. It's so obvious. He's walking down. How long is it? Oh, it's 11 miles.
I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to see him walk the entire 11
when
miles.
When is he? Then he's going to turn around after the 11 miles, so it's going to be a 22-mile walk.
Yeah.
And he's, like, debating, and you're just like, just fuck. We know you're going to go be with the girl. Just go do that.
Just come back.
Just come back.
Mm-hmm. Another 15 minutes could have been shaved off the film.
Well, yeah, exactly. They could have shaved some time off the film. I did find it funny when the doctor, they're on the boat, and he's like, the methane gas is going to be released. Earth can't be saved. It's over. And then, oh, my God, we've built this ark underground. And you like, as the audience, at least, I was sort of like, oh, wow, as an environmentalist that feels like we are facing the sixth extinction event, good luck, everybody. I'm like, wow, this is and I like that. I think good science fiction does this of asks the question. You ask yourself the question, like, first, would I get small if I was in this environment? And then if I was given the choice to live underground or live above ground, and who knows what I'm going to have to go through, a slow apocalypse or whatever, what would I do? So that was a cool thing. And then I love just Christoph Waltz and his rich boat buddy just go, oh, this is like a cult. They're crazy. We'll be fine. The Earth will be done in it. It'll be a couple hundred years, so we'll live fine. Like, just like that was funny to me.
Right.
Which is
pretty
also
dismissive,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But the dragging out of the ending, and then they go back to living their life, helping, you know, she lives with him in Leisure Land, but they still help people. They get, you saw like the manager.
But did he get his job back at Land's End? That's what we don't know.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing too. So he had to get a customer service job.
Yeah. Because he must have like it really didn't get explained too much, like with the divorce. Like,
oh, he got killed in the divorce.
He got killed in the divorce. Like, oh, I wish you would have taken our first offer. Yeah, me too. I'm like, well, why is the second offer worse?
Yeah. And why is the second offer? That's not how divorce negotiations
go. No, because the opposite direction.
And then also, if $130,000 leaves you $12 million, oh, you only got $50,000 out of the divorce?
Yeah, then you'd have $6 million.
You'd have $6 million. Yeah. You wouldn't have to work at Land's End.
No.
I mean, okay, you're not in the 10-room mansion, but who needs that anyway? I mean, that's part of the story too, is like, you don't need all these excesses.
Right.
You know, you just live in a comfortable apartment, you're fine. You think you need all these excesses because in America specifically, in this capitalist society, you're told buy big, buy. And who cares who suffers at the end of it? But then that was sort of like a contrived thing. I was like, well, he doesn't need to work at the Land's End. And it was the other thing, too, that made me more annoyed at the fucking trailers, because I was like, in the trailer, you show me in the Land's End gig as though he's got this dead-end life, and that's what motivates him to go small.
It was completely opposite, exactly.
And I was like, yeah. I hate that.
Right.
So don't do that to me. And they should have... I liked all of the lead-up. The doctor figuring it out. They show the first small person at the conference, and all the scientists are flipping out and like, oh, wow, that was cool. And then 5 years later, hearing the people on the news talk about the things that would pop up if this happened.
Right.
That's always interesting to me. And
they'd have to be under domes or protection. Otherwise, you know, a colony of ants would wipe out Leisure Town.
You could step on them and not know, you know. And also... Oh yeah, rats could.
Anything.
Be horrifying.
Yeah,
but that's a movie I'd like to see.
Yeah,
rats attacking the people.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But like, I would too, and like, there's the going away party, and it's like, oh, we'll see each other, and it's like, that was a really cool moment, I thought, and why it's understandable what Kristen Wiig does. They do it in this sort of wacky, she's just being selfish moment, which was okay, but I don't know. But that you would have to say goodbye to your friends and family.
Yeah, that would be it.
Because how are we going to interact when I'm 5 inches tall and you're not? You know what I mean? Like, how
when
are
you're
gonna,
a giant.
Yeah. Some of that stuff was interesting, but I mean, I liked it obviously better than you guys did, but I do agree that there was so much unevenness to it.
Right.
That it was hard. That sometimes it was. I didn't check out of the movie as much as you guys did, I guess.
So the
maybe because I've been sick for 2 weeks and I finally got to get out of the house. So like, this is amazing.
Did you see it at the food theater?
No.
Oh.
No, but I saw it for free at the ArcLight.
Oh, all right.
Because they got electric vehicle charging there.
Nice.
So I charge my car.
Mm-hmm. You get free tickets because you got an electric car? No.
No, you get sometimes you get to park for free certain places, but I use my SAG card to get
oh,
to
I
watch
see,
the
I
movie
see.
For free.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to use the WGA card, and they said no. They said, "Oh, that's the one movie you can't use the writer's card for."
So poorly written.
Yeah, they're so they weren't
just a snobby writers at the door.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So they're
We don't want you to.
They're not
this.
Expecting any writing nominations for the film.
I see.
So
they just said, let's not even try, guys.
Yeah, we're not even gonna bother.
Hope you like it. They slide it over. Still in the working out stage. We might have a herpy thing in there, though. Just remember that.
God. Yeah, that stuff was uneven. What else? What else? What other scenes you guys want to talk about?
I will say this. Like I said this on the
what other aspects
regular
of
show.
Poor people do you guys hate?
Yeah. the fact that they don't have any money.
Yeah, they should have been bored with more money.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought the production design was real. Like, I could see it getting nominated for production design, something like that. Because I thought it was just really cool, especially the sweeping shots of, like, you know, you're almost looking at it like an amusement park, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh, no, this is all the, you know, they've got, like, tramways and, you know, the tiny cars, and I thought that stuff was really cool. But it was interesting to see, like, the way, you know, people live there, like, oh yeah, we just kind of share cars and you can use one of these. I met some fine people just sharing a car. But then as you get to the poor areas and like, well, no, we all kind of ride the bus into these, you know, weird lean to, you know, these giant apartment complexes that look like they're just boxes or whatever. Like, it's, you know, it's different over here on this side of the track.
Yeah. I didn't, I'm trying to remember what the poor area looked like or how they, like,
well, they drove through like it was a weird like tunnel.
Through,
like,
they made a tunnel through under the wall.
Yeah.
So there's a massive wall surrounding Leisureland, obviously to keep out the bugs and the UV rays or whatever. So there's this wall that goes out, and then there's actual, like, they look like construction trailers for regular sized people, and mm-hmm. so there is a, and they built some sort of makeshift UV protector thing over it, and then they took these construction trailers and then made them into like giant apartment complexes for small people.
Right. Because, you know, it didn't really get too much into.
You guys were already asleep at that point?
Yeah. I was definitely nodding off by then.
Yeah.
Chris was just like, why did I ever fucking pay for this bullshit?
You know, one beetle would wipe out, you know, the entire
Shanty Town. I'd love to see a beetle scene in there. Beetle, rat, just different things, you know, a small child.
Ants, one spider.
One spider.
Just murdering them.
So. But, you know, if I say one positive thing about it, too, I like the concept. I like the idea. I like what the movie was trying to say. I just don't think it gotten around to saying it.
Yeah. Like, there was a scene toward the end on the train where he's obviously little. But then there's other people on the train. I thought there'd be a moment of him, like, telling, like, don't do it. Like, because weren't they heading to be miniaturized?
So they were still full-size, and then the smaller people were on the
the
bus.
But then there was a scene where Matt Damon's with the Vietnamese lady. And
when they were already.
Back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
then
they're playing. That's right.
And they're looking out, and she says that poignant thing about, when I've been to prison, then I appreciate things more.
Right.
So I think the message here is spoiled Americans need to all go to prison. In a third world country, maybe they'll appreciate their lives. I'll say, I said this on the regular episode, so I want to say it here again.
Spoiled Americans need to all go to prison. Is that what you said?
Yep.
You and Oprah confirmed.
Oh, of course. she wants to be president. Yeah, that's what we need, another TV celebrity.
I don't think she does. I think other people want her to be president more than she wants to be president.
Where did it come from? I mean, she just made a speech. I don't understand how it got
blown.
And then
people just hashtag Oprah 2020, and that became a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
but then it trends.
Yeah, right. And then there's all these photos of her partying with Harvey Weinstein in the past.
Any word on my potato song in the trending section?
You know, we're trying to move the needle on that. We have an intern dedicated just to your potato song.
After this
song,
drops,
Tom.
We'll see.
That's good.
You know.
Oprah and potato, if we could get that trending.
Hashtag potato. I'll say this, because I said this on the regular episode, sounds like Tom doesn't agree with me, but I think this Vietnamese actress did a phenomenal job.
With her accent?
With her accent. Mm-hmm. I think, as I said in the regular episode, she's acting using a language. So she's playing a person where English is not her first language, right? So she's conveying complex emotions in broken English. And I think this actress, I think she did a fine job in the way that we talk about on this show what really good movie acting is usually it's done with the eyes or your face right. or a few words.
I didn't even get in trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Only white people in trailer.
Yeah.
So it was like...
I co-star.
She's the co-star.
She is.
She is the co-star. She has a bigger part than Kristen Wiig. And yes. I understand if you're like, again, the trailers that they cut are part of the problem because yes. whatever, whichever one of those trailers, or as in our case, Chris and I saw both of the trailers, which show two different movies, and then we went in the theater and saw a third fucking
right.
movie.
Yeah.
That I think is going to impact your decision. Like, what
right.
what is this?
Right.
Well, you guys have watched a lot of movies. What's like the worst example of that? Of like where you saw the trailer, like this looks amazing, and then the movie came out and it wasn't that story. Is there anything you can think of?
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
More than
so
it
many.
Should. But
God.
I think one of them, if you remember, it was a science fiction movie called Skyline.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically an alien invasion movie. So it looked like this giant, sweeping, epic, big alien invasion movie. And turns out it was guys that just kind of put it together in their apartment, like visual effects artists. So literally the entire alien invasion takes place from their perspective in their apartment. So I was like, what? What was this? This is what I paid money to see?
Right.
So I remember after a while, we were actually talking about it. Like, oh, you saw a trailer. Did you get skylined?
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
This is one of the more egregious ones in a while.
Really?
Because so the first trailer, we don't see the Vietnamese woman at all. She's not in it at all.
Right.
We don't see the poor town. We don't see any of that stuff. The second one kind of shows it, and you see him say, I think I found my real purpose. And you see that. You see them walking through the giant dandelion forest
right.
in the second trailer. And I was like, huh.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing that troubled me is like watching the trailer, my expectations watching the trailer and then the movie itself. It came across as like, it was going to be sort of lighthearted. It's going to be sort of silly.
So you saw the first trailer without the poor village or
right,
anything.
Right, right.
Oh.
So, I mean, I think that's the thing. Is like, I thought this was going to be funnier. Like, and I feel like if you're going to do that with miniature things, like, there should be more humor. Like, why not just make a movie about economic disparity without making little people and just comment on our current society? We don't need to go small to do that. We can just
it's happening right now.
Right, right. So I guess that's my problem with it. Is I wanted it to be funny. Right, bottom line, I guess I just wanted it to be funnier and more entertaining and less heavy.
I think that's such a valid point because that's what I'm talking about. Like, if that's the trailer, you only saw that first trailer that just like wacky small people Alexander Payne movie with Kristen Wiig and Jason Sudeikis, and
it'll have some heartfelt moments in it, but it'll still be kind of like
it'll be funny, funny joke, and it'll the points it'll make won't be about like class, you know, or capitalism run amok. It'll just be about like what's important in life,
right?
You know, like,
and I think that could have been interesting is watching Kristen Wiig and Matt Damon living in this luxurious lifestyle that they're not used to. Because they show how unhappy they are in their current life, and then they go to this. I think that could have been more interesting to watch and just sort of realize like, oh, this sucks. And
it's not as great. We thought it was going to make our lives better.
Right, being rich is great. No, it's not. People are miserable.
Right, because they think the stuff and the materialism is what's going to make them happy when it isn't. Like, they've done studies. It's an interesting thing to bring up. They've done like money buys happiness up to literally about $150,000 a year.
Wow.
They literally did because like if you think about it, past about 100, 150 grand, depending on this where you live, like it's 100 grand in Omaha, it's 150 in New York or whatever.
Right.
But they said like if you're making 50, 60 grand a year and you're struggling and you start making 120 grand a year, your life actually does get better. The stress is relieved. You know, like
you're able to put money away.
You're able to put money away. You can go on vacation. So it does actually improve happiness. But once you get past about 150 grand, your life actually, you get more miserable because you're just like, oh, my boat's not big enough. Like you're always, we always got to get the new car and the new TV and we need a bigger pool or a bigger house. Or so you're just buying all this stuff and we've outgrown the house. And it's like, no, you just bought a bunch of nonsense. And so they've done studies that people making $250, $1 million, $10 million a year aren't that much happier because.
So make $150 and stop.
And shut your mouth. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do if I make it big in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. $150,000 is all I'll be needing for this movie. Yeah. I don't need $20 million.
If mm-hmm. you want to pay me $20 million, that's fine. I'll live on $150 and the rest I'll give to charity.
That would be nice.
Instead
if
of just
did that.
Wearing black and thinking I'm helping the world.
Yeah. I know, maybe not have an elaborate Golden Globe ceremony this year and figure out how to donate to women's shelters or something like that. And
there's a bunch of poor women, black and Latino, Asian women here in L.A. right now struggling. And
probably
they didn't,
outside the hotel.
Outside
the
goddamn
the,
hotel. And you know what? They didn't get $30,000 fucking gift bags with Rolexes in them made with diamonds that's African slave labor put together. But anyway, we'll talk about that more in the Golden Globe episode that'll be on the Patreon. But
and we'll also talk about the actual movies.
Yeah.
Too.
But yeah, so I'm curious, all you guys out there listening who have seen Downsizing, I'd love to know where you land on this. Are you on the Chris and Tom hated it? Do you feel bamboozled by the trailers? Or do you have a soul like me? Are you a kind?
I'd like to restate this.
No, I'm curious what everyone.
Why does Graham get to answer that? Why don't you just frame the question?
Are you right or are you with Graham?
There we go. Thank you.
If you're with me, you're with the people.
Yeah.
Debating in 2018. Yeah. That's, right. Am I right or is. Yeah.
Are you dumb?
Leisure Town or Shantyville?
Shantyville. Where do you want to.
Now, there's
live?
A good name for the movie, Shantyville.
Yeah.
Little Shantyville.
Yeah, we all agree it's uneven. But yeah, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say, and we love doing these spoiler ups for this very reason, because we can really get into it and break it down about what we liked and didn't like, and it's always great to hear different points of view. So Tom Clark, what do you got going on? I know you're on the road a lot doing your comedy skits.
I love doing my skits.
You also have an album.
Not an album, a special, an actual comedy special.
You can see Tom Clark.
Visually and hear me, if ever you like to do that. It's probably a terrible way to explain a comedy special, but
visually and hear me.
Anyways, but appropriately enough, it's called Outraged because we're all outraged these days. So I shot it in May at the El Portal in North Hollywood.
That's a great theater.
In the smaller theater, so it's like a 100-seat theater.
That's not as good.
No. All right, I'm out of here. No, not yet.
Get the plug in.
Right, right.
And then tell me.
Then I'm out of here. Yeah. Then I'm start the car. So I shot it there, and I just did it myself, and I released it through iTunes and Amazon, and I released it in December, and just trying to get some traction on it, get the word out. It turned out great. Like, I'm very proud of it.
Outraged.
Outraged. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And it's on Amazon and iTunes.
Amazon and iTunes, and it's very funny, and I think it really captures what stand up is really like. Like, it's not in this ornate theater. It's like it's not gritty, but it's like Shantytown. no, it's but it's like there is a point where in the middle of a joke, this guy just walks right through the shot, like right in the on the stage because he had to use the bathroom, and he's drunk. And that's all I'll say. And
that's
you just gotta,
fantastic. Yeah, that is how stand up.
Yeah, and I leave it, it in, and I'm just like this because it was funny, and I riffed off of it, and it ended up being a great moment in the special, but. That's what I love about it is it's not that you sort of see all, it was just one show. So there was no multiple shows I could edit together. It was just, this is a show. And, I think you get to see those moments of awkwardness. And I sort of even made fun of stand up specials with the idea of I couldn't afford a camera that swoops through. So I have a kid with a helmet cam that runs through to shoot, to do fancy cross shots and that sort of thing. And, Drew Carey actually introduced me for the special. He came out and he's not on it. He refused. But
he wouldn't sign a release.
He wouldn't sign a release. And we are in litigation. No, we're not. no, but he is very nice to come out and do that for me. And I'm very happy with it. I'd love if people could check it out. It's $4.99 to rent.
Come on.
Come on.
See a guy with a helmet. See a drunk guy run across the stage. Yeah.
Two different people.
You got nothing to lose.
The drunk guy doesn't have a helmet.
He should have. Next special.
Should have been thinking ahead.
Put a drunk guy. Get a guy liquored up and put a camera in his
That'd be a good specialist. Get everyone with a helmet cam.
Drunk cam.
And then
call it drunk hat.
Drunk. The drunk hat comedy special. Sponsored by All Things Comedy.
Tom Clark, Outrage. Check it out. And then website, tour dates, where can people?
TomClark.com for everything.
Tom's a very funny guy.
Clark,
done it...
C-L-A-R-K. Yeah. A-R-K. Okay. E at the end.
No E on the end.
Oh, good. Get rid of that E. check. Tom Clark's a very funny man. We've done some shows together. And like we said, we started the Beautiful Comedy Cafe in gorgeous Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Both met Tom on the road.
It is closed. I think they're trying to reopen somewhere. And yeah, it's strange. Like, there's no comedy clubs right now in Milwaukee. The other one, Joker's closed too. So they have a great club though called the Underground Collaborative, which is in like a basement. It's almost like a UCB type theater. But like, they'll do a lot of independent shows. Like, if you guys ever want to do your podcast there, that would be something to explore, because they do like a door deal and that sort of thing. So Matt Bronger has been there. I think Todd Barry's was there or is going to be there. So I think that there is a real burgeoning independent comedy scene in Milwaukee. So I think that's really
great to hear,
man. Yeah, it's really coming along.
I think the next time I go through Chicago, maybe I'll tack on a night there or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Matt Kempel, Underground Collaborative. I want to plug that because they're really hardworking. It's a great independent comedy club.
I love it. Well, that's our show, everybody.
All right. We downsized it.
We downsized the shit out of it. thank you so much for listening. You can watch the full episode, too, on youtube.com/comedyfilmnerds. Go to the Patreon page. Support it. Thank you to Aaron and everybody here at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.